Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, if you'll find that. And let's stand here, if you would. Sit, stand. Jumping jacks, here we go. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse lightning than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melchizedek, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. He hadn't heard of the 40 days of purpose. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter. I like that word. You're supposed to have a fat soul. Who in the world wants a fat soul in a skinny body? The only reason Dr. Rousseau looks like he does is because he has AIDS. Their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh. Come on, Brother Ashcraft, help me out now. And fatter in flesh. 11 o'clock at night, Dr. Tony Hudson calls Brother Rousseau and said, are you in bed? No. Are you with your family? Yes. I'm hungry. 11 o'clock at night, I'm hungry. Brother Rousseau said, what can I do for you? He said, well, I'm in my pajamas. He said, I saw a Crystal Burger place. Would you go get me some Crystal Burgers? Amen. I got to tell this. I shouldn't tell this. This is horrible to tell. This is horrible. I probably shouldn't tell this, but I'm going to tell it. Brother Landers is on our staff. He is one of the funniest men. He doesn't look it, and you wouldn't know it, but he is one of the funniest men I've ever met. Am I right? The guy is hilarious, a cold sense of humor. I shouldn't tell this, but it's so funny. I got to tell it. Brother Duckett, of course, you know, passed away a year ago, and he died in his office, and it was a very tragic thing for us. But weeks later, this crazy Brother Landers lays out in the back, one of the offices in the back, and lays on the floor. And says to one of the staff members, go get Brother Lott, who's our buildings and maintenance guy. Go get Brother Lott and tell him I passed out and you don't know what to do. He went and got Brother Lott. Brother Lott comes running and thinking, oh no, we've got another death. Oh no. And he runs in there. Brother Landers is laying out on the floor. He leans over. Brother Lott's crying. You have to know Brother Lott. He's crying, and he leans over, and he doesn't know what to do. He's thinking mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. That's what I got to do. And he's thinking to himself, no, I let him die. I can't do that. And he's crying, and he's literally trying to figure out, should I do this or shouldn't I? I've never touched a man's lips, you know. And should I do this or not do this? And so Brother Landers is laying there, holding his breath and laying there, and he's crying. He said, call 911, Brother Landers. Call 911. Do something. And Brother Landers opened his eyes. He said, look, all I need is a Crystal Burger, and I'll be fine. Brother Lott goes through the ceiling. Man, he is madder than a hatter. Buddy, he storms out of there, slams that door, and he's mumbling all the way back to his office back there, just mumbling and carrying on. So that night after work, Brother Landers goes to start his car and go home. Car won't start. Car won't start. Will not start. So Brother Lott's our resident expert, you know, on cars. So they call Brother Lott. Brother Lott, you need to come down and look at Brother Lander's car. So Brother Lott comes down. He raises the hood, and he's looking around. And Brother Landers, he knows nothing about cars. So he's got his head stuck in there. He don't know what he's looking for. He's in there looking. Both of them looking. And Brother Lott leans up, and he said, "Well, Brother Landers, the only thing it needs is a crystal burger." He took the distributor cap off and started. And so then there went Brother Landers cussing off down the road. But anyway, what was I talking about here? Crystal burger. Fat, that's it. Yeah, thank you for reminding me. And fatter in flesh than all the children of us did eat the portion that came. I want to talk to you about how a fundamentalist becomes a liberal. How a fundamentalist becomes a liberal. And let's pray. Father, help me now to help the Holy Ghost of God. I pray for your presence. I ask you, Holy Spirit of God, to speak to us. Lord, this is the hope of America. Men of God, loving you, doing what's right, not letting anything interfere with their independent church, and just doing what's right, autonomous, indigenous. And God, I pray that you'll just help us now. Lord, we don't need for fundamentalism. Those who really believe the Bible literally and those who carry the gospel, we don't need to have our troops become Benedict Arnolds and turn on what they promised at ordination, what they would uphold. Now, God, I pray you'll help me to help, please. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. May be seated. It's important. Boy, now we're back. Important to understand. Okay, let me tell you the story here. Nebuchadnezzar, you know the story, but the king of Babylon besieged Jerusalem and made himself master of it. And he seized the king, took whom he pleased and what he pleased, and then left Jehoiakim to reign as a tributary to him. As you read the scripture, you see that. Now, he did not destroy the city, nor did he destroy the kingdom, but he carried away the vessels, if you recall, out of the sanctuary. Nebuchadnezzar brought the vessels to the house of his gods, to whom he had given blind devotion, and he gave his gods credit for the success. Now, not only did Nebuchadnezzar take vessels from the house of God, he also took the children, the scripture says here, and the young men, especially those of noble and royal extraction, and he took them back to Babylon. Now, those were taken away by Nebuchadnezzar as hostages. For the fidelity of their parents in their own land, he absconded with these young people. And he took them to train them, for a purpose to do this, to train them to serve his gods for his employment and his preferment. Now, the king made it plain he didn't want the deformed in body, but the comely, the well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning, understanding in knowledge and science. So he chose the young because they would be teachable and trainable. Because their hope was, listen to this, that they would forget their own people and actually become Chaldeans. And they were to be taught to preside in the king's palace and preside over the king's affairs. And they would be taught the learning and the actual tongue of the Chaldeans. Now these boys were to be given daily provision for of the king's meat and the wine which the king drank. With a liberal education, there would become a liberal thought life and a liberal view of this new nation and a liberal view of their homeland. So their hope was to indoctrinate them as children and raise them up so that when they began to think, they would think like liberals. When they began to view their past, they would view it from a liberal mindset. When they begin to look at their current nation, they would look at it from a liberal mindset. By the way, Daniel and his friends were of the children of Judah, the royal tribe, and probably of the house of David. Daniel and his friends were given to the prince of the eunuchs to be trained, to be taught, and to be transformed. Now here's Daniel with his heart fixed and filled with purpose. Here is Nebuchadnezzar with his heart fixed and filled with a purpose. Boy, are we about to have a head-on collision. But wait, Satan has his heart fixed and filled with a purpose. He also wants to take our young people and change them from fundamental Baptists to evangelicals. He also wants to take and sucker our fundamental young people to become liberals. He wants to get us and chain, liberalize our thought and have our look at our past in a liberal viewpoint and look at our current state from a liberal viewpoint. And he wants to take our young fundamental Baptist people and have them become National Council of Church followers. He wants to take fundamental Baptists to become interdenominationalists. He wants to take fundamental Baptists to where they become non-denominationalists. Now let me show you how a fundamentalist becomes a liberal. Several steps. Get your pen out. Write this down. First of all, I want you to note they change their name. They change their name. I'm not making this up. This is in the Bible. In Daniel chapter 1 and verses 6 and 7. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. Now look at these Hebrew names. Daniel means God is my judge. Hananiah means the grace of the Lord. Mishael means he that is the strong God. Azariah means the Lord is my help. Now to help them forget the God of their fathers, to become liberal in thought and philosophy, and to leave the guide of their youth, they gave them names of the savor of Chaldean idolatry. For example, they gave them, and by the way, aren't we really something? What do we call them? We call them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What have we done? We have fallen into the very trap of what has happened here because that is not their name. Yet the Chaldeans gave them those names. What are those names? Well, Belshazzar means the keeper of the hidden treasures of Bel. Shadrach means the inspiration of the sun. Meshach means the goddess Shaq. And that's not the basketball player either. Abednego, the servant of the shining fire. So what did they do? They changed their name to try to complete the indoctrination. They changed their name to try to get them to move into this liberal mindset and this liberal atmosphere and this liberal view of life. Say, listen to me. You and I have never seen so many different names for churches in our life. Never in your life have you seen such outfits. When did the... I want to know what happened. You better watch it when preachers change the name of their church to community church. Somebody help me now. Sit still. You better watch it when preachers start changing the name of the church on the rock. Son, I'm not on the rock, I'm in the rock. When they start changing the name of their church to Calvary Chapel, or they start changing their name to the Word Church, or the Living Word Church, or the Fellowship of Believers. Or how about the Church of Acts? Or how about the Hollywood Bowl Church? How about the Living Water Church? How about the Bible Teaching Church? Better watch it when they change their name to Faith Fellowship Assembly Church. Better watch it when they change their name to Church of God in Christ, Holy Ghost, on the Rock, Shekinah Glory Fellowship with Sister Gertrude as co-pastor. You better watch when they start changing their name to the Dove Church, to the Agape Center, to the Church of the Harvest, to Good News Revival Center, to the Church of Faith, to the Dayspring Church, to the New Hope Church, to the BTM Church, to the PTL Church, to the TBN. Hey, what in God's name is going on here? Brother, our forefathers died to make sure that everybody knew who we were by our name. Please understand something. Our name that we have, that we carry now, we did not. They gave it to us. They were first called Christians at Antioch. That wasn't what they called themselves. That's what others called. They called them little Christ. Christian meaning little Jesuses. A bunch of little Jesuses running around here. A bunch of little ones promoting the fact that God had only one son. And that son died and paid for the sins of the world and resurrected. Why, these little Jesuses are everywhere. Why, they're going around and getting our good, faithful folks at the synagogue. They're getting them saved. And then they're baptizing them. And they're starting these assemblies, these called out body of baptized believers. And these little Jesuses are everywhere. And down through the years, they were called Anabaptists. They were a name's not given that we, they rebaptizers. How dare these people get our church members saved? How dare these people then say to them, you've got to get baptized? Why, we sprinkled them when they were little babies. What in the world is going on? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, whether it's Novation or Modernist, it doesn't matter. It's always something that they gave to us. And I walk tonight proudly with the name Baptist, and I'm not ashamed of it. Amen. They changed their name. May I remind you the Roman Catholic Church started in A.D. 251? May I remind you the Greek Orthodox Church started in 1050 A.D.? May I remind you the Lutheran started in 1530? May I remind you the Presbyterian started in 1535? May I remind you the Episcopalian started in 1540? May I remind you the Dutch Reform started in 1561? May I remind you the Congregationalist started in 1602? May I remind you the Quaker started in 1648? May I remind you the Methodist started in 1729? May I remind you the Free Will Baptist started in 1780? May I remind you the Carmelites started in 1827. May I remind you the Mormons started in 1880. May I remind you the Primitive Hard Shell started in 1832. May I remind you the Seventh-day Adventist started in 1843. May I remind you the Christian Science started in 1843. May I remind you the Russellites started in 1884. May I remind you the Nazarenes started in 1885. May I remind you Pentecostalism started with a woman in 1914. May I remind you the Four Square Gospel started in 1925. May I remind you that the Baptist started A.D. 31, Jesus Christ is the founder of the Baptist Church. Now look, you get mad, but it doesn't say John the Lutheran. It doesn't say John the Methodist. It says John the Baptist. Somebody help me. A brother, if a Lutheran sprinkles you, you're a Lutheran. If a Catholic sprinkles you, you're a Catholic. But if a Baptist ever gets a hold of you, you get born again. And we baptize you, my friend. You're baptized by a Baptist. That makes you a Baptist. Digest it. But the truth of the matter is, somebody somewhere ought to quit running. Listen, changing your name doesn't change the fact you're a loser. So you guys walk around with a screwdriver in your pocket ordering a new sign. Well, let's put community church up here. Let's see what happens. Maybe the floodgates will open. They ain't open. You're just as dead as you were when you were called Baptist. Let's call it the Church of the Living Rock. I don't give a flip what you call it. Son, you still ain't going soul with it. You still ain't telling people how to be saved. You want to sneak up on them like the Mormons do and sneak up on them like the Jehovah's False Witnesses do. Hey, it's about time you got your Bible down. Started reading your Bible. Obey. Get off your duff and go tell somebody how to be saved. Amazing to me. How's Anderson graduates falling for this? Where's Rick? Graduate from our college. Calling other graduates from our college and said, don't listen to Mother Gray anymore. Why, he runs more people off than he gets in. Yeah, we ran you off. Brother, I'll tell you right now, when the fire broke out, the snakes came out of the fire, and I want you to know when you got old-fashioned Holy Ghost Baptist preaching, it'll run the stinking snakes out, and you better thank God for preaching. You see, we don't vote people out. We preach them out. Sound like it? Well, just keep up with your church trials. You know, fundamentalism was growing when we were splitting. Can't we just get along with everybody? Well, you're Rodney King, or what are you? Don't you get all that stuff? Herod! You are the man! David! You are the man! Throughout history, there have always been men of God who stood against the trench, and that's why we're called a remnant. We're not going to be the majority, but ladies and gentlemen, after the rapture, we will be the majority. Number two, second thing. You didn't know I had a second point, did you? Number two, verse 4. They changed their language. Not only changed their name, they changed their language. Say, it's no longer get born again, it's make a decision. It's no longer get right with God, it's let's start over. It's no longer adultery, it's, well, it was just an affair. It's no longer drunkenness, don't you know? It's a disease now. It's no longer stealing. Why, it was just embezzlement. It's no longer sin. Why, he made a mistake. It's no longer King James Bible. It's RSV and NAS, changing the language. Berkeley Version, changing the language. Good News for Modern Man, changing the language. Goodspeed American Translation, changing the language. Moffat's New Translation, changing the language. The Living Bible, changing the language. The Amplified Translation. Is anybody out there today changing the language? The Phillips Translation, changing the language. The Darby's Translation, changing the language. The NIV, changing the language. Now what we need is old-fashioned Baptist preachers to get up and preach the book again. Don't fool with preaching. You need preaching. You know what you need? You need somebody that really doesn't give a flip. You know what you need? You need somebody to tell you what you won't tell yourself. Well, the doctor for a physical, he says to me, get on the scale. I said to him, ain't going to do it. He said, yes, you are. I said, no, I'm not. I said, not unless you got one for my left leg, one for my right leg, I'm not. He said, no, you're getting on a scale. I got on a scale, a little thing, ding, one at a time, please. Then you go back to the doctor, and the doctor has the gall to say to me, I'm paying him $150. And he says to me, have you ever thought about a low-fat diet? And I said to him, don't need it. All my fat's low already. I don't need that. They have the nerve to tell me. I'm independent, fundamental, premillennial, temperamental. Deacons don't tell me what to do. Charter members don't tell me what to do. But the doctor, he do. We need somebody to tell us what we know. You know, I touched on a while ago. You know what's wrong with these little fellowships you start? You get an area and you always get these letters. Please come to our fellowship. You keep going to these fellowships. And those you're running 100. And the guy's preaching, you're running 75. And if you keep listening to him, you'll be right down there with him. You know what you need to do? You need to go to pastor school and let somebody kick you around for a week. You're too high and mighty. You know, you're right so much of the time, you think you're right all the time. You need to come to Soul Winning Clinton. Let me rip your face off and pat your lips back on. Shoot, I don't need no meat. I'm looking for a way to stay home. My golf game is suffering. But what did they do? They changed. They changed their names and then they changed their language. We need preaching that exhorts, examines, exposes. We need preaching that bolsters and blisters and badgers and bothers and builds and breaks. We need preaching that points out sin and pulls down sin and pushes out sin. We need preaching that'll put you on the spot and preaching that'll put you in the corner and preaching that'll put you in the spotlight and preaching that'll put you at the point of decision. We need preaching that demands action. We need preaching that demands change. We need preaching that demands commitment. We need preaching that puts a demand on you. Preaching that brings you to a point of confrontation. Preaching that pushes you off of the fence. Preaching that'll cause you to fly your real colors. Preaching that'll cause you to think. Preaching that'll force a decision out of you. Preaching that exposes Hollywood movies as hellish and wicked and straight out of hell. You need preaching that'll tell our young people the dirty MTV is of the devil and straight out of hell. We need preaching that'll tell our families, stay away from the HBO. Stay away from the sin to the max. Stay away from the filthy Hollywood movies. Stay away from the internet. Stay away from renting these movies. Stay away from the filthy rap music. Stay away from the filthy primetime television. Stay away from Michael Jackson. Stay away from the turkey gobblers on the religious fake TV program. Stay away from the immodest dress on women that's as wicked as hell. Stay away from the dirty, lustful minds of young men who fondle females as if they were Walmart merchandise. Stay away from those folks that are trying to destroy soul winning at a local church. Stay away from those females that are not dressing right and tempting young men with their short dresses, slits in their dress, rear end sticking out, tight breeches, shorts, halters, bikinis, modest one-piece bathing suit. Stay away. Preaching that exposes mixed nudity on the beach for what it is. Preaching that exposes Bucky Owens and Merle Haggard for what they are. Preaching that exposes not only communism, but Romanism. Preaching that exposes rebellious hearts towards the man of God. Preaching that exposes you Sunday school skippers. Preaching that exposes you fair weather Christians who hit and miss depending on the weather. Somebody say amen to me. When he preaches, he exposes you lazy, good-for-nothing spiritual bums who will spend the rest of your life letting your wife pay the bills, feed the kids, clothe the kids, while you so sanctimoniously turn down jobs that don't pay up. Get yourself a job, you bum! Preaching expose you God robbers who week in and week out steal from God himself. Preaching expose you lazy, lustful acts, languishing, lethargic, loafing, lot that let loads of little ones lose their life to a lake of fire while you lay around on leisure on the weekends. Get yourself a bus route, you dirty bum. Preaching exposes the fraud of the full gospel message that doesn't last 24 hours. Preaching that exposes the sin of sodomy. Preaching that exposes the sin of gossip. Preaching that exposes you dirty, filthy language that you use. It's sin. Preaching that puts dresses back on the females. Preaching that puts the pants back on the men. Preaching that gets the men to get their hair. Preaching that gets the necklaces off of the males. Preaching that gets the shirts buttoned up on the males. Preaching that gets the blouses buttoned up on the females. Anybody listening to me this morning? Preaching that gets the skirts lengthened and loosened. I'm just some of you walking around like this, walking around like, hey, I want to know what in the world is the difference between that and a pair of tight britches. And let me stop and say I'm a little sick of you Christian ladies looking like a bunch of streetwalkers and a whore. You can't even weep in a service without looking like somebody blacking your eye. Where's Rick? I know what you're thinking. Thank God he's not my pastor. Well, after looking at you, I'm feeling pretty good about that myself. Preaching that gets prayer back in the home. Preaching gets Bible reading back in the home. Preaching gets fasting back in the home. Preaching gets love back in the home. Now, if you run with Swindoll, MacArthur, Schuller, or Graham, or Walt Hanford, you're going to have a tough time with old-fashioned preaching. But if you like Rice, Roloff, Robertson, Hiles, Hatch, and Hudson, and Oliver B. Green, you'll make it just fine. I'll wait for you to holler amen. Don't fool with the language. Don't fool with the language. And don't get mad at people who stand for the King James Bible. And you preachers, quit tiptoeing through the tithers. Brother Roloff, one sermon against televisions. Get this now. He could preach at Bob Jones, Pensacola, Tennessee Temple, Pillsbury, and Hiles Anderson, all the same week. He would preach, people would drive hundreds of miles to hear him bash televisions. And the people would stand and wave their Bibles, and they owned four. Because there's something about a man of God. There's something about a man of God. See, in your heart, you wish you had this. But you're a coward. Where's Rick? Number three, they not only changed their names, they changed their language. We've got to hurry. But number three, they changed them into eunuchs. Well, that hurt. They physically changed them into eunuchs so they could not reproduce. Wait a minute. When they say, let's meet in room 200 for our invitation. You know why they do that? Because it'll hold three. Anybody here? Is this working? I had a church member say to me, why don't we take them to a private room? And I said to him, the only room in this church big enough is the auditorium. Anybody here? I'm not going to tiptoe out of here. But I hope nobody sees these people. Well, I hope nobody gets motivated by this altar call. Man, I don't want to make people feel bad who didn't have a convert. I wouldn't want to do that. But they get motivated to go win souls themselves. I wouldn't want to do that. What are you going to do? Baptize them in room 200? Is this working? Where's Rick? They changed the eunuchs. Old-fashioned altar call. Changed room 200. The sowing night has changed to volleyball night. Ka-dink for God. Sowing clubs are changed into service clubs. Sowing night is changed into visitation night. Bus routes are dropped. Of course, you know they don't know how to behave. Of course, when you have a riot on the streets like in Detroit, you got nobody to blame but yourself. You heard the testimony this morning. One little girl Sunday morning said, I don't want to go home. I don't want to go home. And some of the only real solid parents or adult relationship that they have is with their bus captain and their Sunday school teacher. I don't want to go home. When I was down in New Orleans soul winning one year and I went down there and went soul winning, a teenage boy followed me all the way around and he helped me get people saved. He helped me bring them. And then at the end, he walked up and he said, Brother Gray, would you take me home with you? I said, Samuel, I can't take you home with me. I said, son, your daddy wouldn't like that. Daddy? I have no daddy. Well, I said, son, your mama would like that, Mom. I don't even know who my mama is. Well, son, who are you living with? My aunt. I said, I just want somebody to care. Nobody cares for me. I said, son, do you have friends at school? He said, I get beat up when I go to school. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. There's no reason to change now. He said, but these kids, they steal from the offering. These are ingenious bus kids we had. We had some kids here that took scotch tape, turned it around in their hand, the plate would go by and they'd say, God bless. Plate would go by, they'd pretend like they had God bless. Now all the toilets are plugged, the thievery in the offices, and no telling what's going on. I walked in my office one day, and some kids had gotten up in the ceiling. We have these tiles, and these kids were crawling, bus kids from room or up in the roof, place to place, lifting up the tiles. What's down there? I walked into my office, and the kid's leg dangling. And I looked up, and you hear the kid behind me, well, what's down there? And I looked and said, hey, boy! And he looked down, oh, my God, it's a preacher, scram! I don't care. You go to a bus kid. And listen, send me your tape. I'll tell you whether you're doing right or not. Send me your sermon tape. But if you have to stop somewhere and say, hey, sit down back there. What the hell's that about you? Sit down. Move that kid over. Put that over there. Put that gun down. This is not a shooting range. You've been watching. You've been watching these guys wearing dresses too long. If we don't reach the poor, the charismatics are not going to do it. If we don't reach the poor, the Episcopalians are not going to do it. If we don't reach the poor, the old, solid, old, rank fundamentalists are not going to do it. Evangelicals are not going to do it. They don't want that crowd. I do. I'd have rode a bus when I was a kid. I'd have rode it. They changed them into eunuchs. Number four, they changed their diets. Daniel chapter 1, verse 5, verses 8 through 15, they changed their diets. Hey, do you have an appetite for good music? Or has it got to be Amy Grunt? What is Amy Grunt's latest record? I got to get that. Yeah, and then maybe you'll leave your husband and marry somebody else's husband. How about Sandy Fatty? Is that what, Patty, is that what you... Steve Green, I tell you what, our crowds are down. Let's have a concert. Let's have Steve Green in, sell tickets.
They got a guy from American Idol going to the Moberly Baptist Church down here where John Rice used to preach years ago, selling tickets for an American Idol singer to come in to try to get a crowd. Listen, you're going to attract what you're pushing. You go ahead and do that because you've got a crowd. You want a crowd more than you want Christ, and you're going to get yourself in a whale of a lot of trouble. You're going to attract some people. They're going to ruin your young people. Say, do you have an appetite for old-fashioned preaching? Or do you need to show a movie on Sunday night to get a crowd? Do you have an appetite for godly dress? Or is your appetite changing? How about a form of fundamentalist? Is he calling you and maybe you're going to New York to get the fire? Where's Rick? Do you have an appetite for long invitations? The longer it is, the more you say, glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, this is wonderful. I told our people, I said, we baptized 11,159 one year. And I said, some of you people never saw one of them. Oh, look at me that way. You got people just like that back home. Trying to beat the Methodist to the cafeteria. Hey, do you have an appetite for long preaching? Do you have an appetite for long baptismal services? Do you have an appetite? Let me tell you a story. You remember when we went to the amphitheater? And Brother Howes had that big day, had 10,000, 11,000 people there. Were you there? You sit there. You couldn't hear nothing. You couldn't hear nothing. It was 11,000 people with a PA system that some, I know they sang, but I don't know what they sang. I know they preached, but I didn't know what they preached. And I was there. They gave the invitation, and boy, they started coming everywhere. And then our staff went out on the streets and started getting people off the streets, started giving the gospel on the streets. Do you know what happened in that service? Let me tell you what happened in that service. There was a multi-billionaire walking down the streets, saw the commotion, walked in, sat down in that chaos. Sorry for the house. It was chaos. Listen to Curtis Hudson. Walked the aisle, got saved in that chaos. Rushed out with a bunch of kids to get baptized. Got baptized. And then caught a jet to fly to Paris. He writes for the house. The last time of this story, wrote for the house a letter, told him what happened. And here he said, here's a check, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And he said, I want to thank you for the wonderful service. Somebody help me! Where's Rick? You give me the old-fashioned hellfire damnation Baptist preaching. You give me that what you call chaos. I don't care. Give me the poor. Give me the halt. Give me the blind. Give me the lame. That's what God had in mind. What's the matter, you dingbat? Number five, I love you. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. Listen carefully. They changed their worship. Worship, I want you to write down the word personal. Worship is personal and not public. Do you hear what I said? Worship is personal, not public. When you have a group prayer meeting, you're not praying to God. You're praying to each other. Why don't you confess your sins, my friend? I don't know about you, but I ain't about to confess my sins in front of this staff. You know why? They're a bunch of gossips. You said, but there was group prayer in the Bible. Yeah, when there was a specific purpose to get Peter out of jail. We've done that often here and brought men down. Somebody dying was saved. Let's pray. Because somebody's dying, we need the men, and we got to pray with a specific purpose. Now, my friend, I'm for coming to church and raising my hands and praising God and carrying on. But I'm telling you right now, I'll tell you what's wrong with us. We're not out in the woods. Don't you put on a show. I'm for the amens. I'm for all of that. But in God's dear name, please get out in the woods. Please walk around and weep. Please walk around and connect with God. I'm not talking about hugging a tree. I'm talking about you and God. And you worshiping God. I have a routine I go through with my prayer life. I have, first of all, Brother House taught me this, but I have a praise time. And I have a spot for my praise time. And I write down all the things to praise God about. And I praise God. But I have another spot as my worship spot. And I go there and I worship God. And I say, God, I love you. You're so wonderful. And I'll pick out an attribute about God. And then I'll brag on Him. Then I have a third spot where I go and confess sins. My sins. I couldn't confess yours because there's not enough time. But I confess my sins. I love Dr. Rice. He was writing on a piece of paper. He was in the bathroom praying. He tore it up, put it in the commode, flushed it. Dr. House stayed in the same room with Dr. Rice. He said, what's that? Oh, he said, I was listing my sins. He said, well, what'd you flush it down the commode for? He says, I didn't want you to sin. He said, I just wanted God to sin. They changed their worship. So now we have worship leaders. Very cute. And what's really bothering me is when people move to town and they say they're from a fundamental church and they call and say, one lady called and said, do you have a worship team? Because the independent church I came from had a worship team. And I feel like I should be a part of a worship team. Where did that come from? Came from charismatics. You know what your problem is? You want a crowd. And you'll do anything to get it. Anything. Sacrifice your kids. Sacrifice your wife. Sacrifice the little ones in that children's church looking up to you. Sacrifice those things. You don't care. As long as you get a crowd. Sound like you've got a problem. So, brother, I don't like you. Well, I don't like you either, but that has nothing to do with it. I love you. I'm trying to help you. Well, what are your kids going to have when you're gone? What direction are you going? Where are you pointing them? I beg you. I plead with you. Don't become a liberal. And don't you connect yourself with people who are liberals. You stay right on track. It might do you good to get some old Brother House tapes and listen to them every week. Him being dead yet speaketh. Might be good for you. Stay away from these conferences where you're looking for an easy way. When somebody gets up and slaps topical preaching, run. Let me tell you what's going on. They're slapping at Brother House. Because now exegetical preaching and verse by verse by verse by verse by verse. And when people say, that's the only way. They're slapping at Brother Howes. And when they make little innuendos about Howes Anderson or First, they don't call the name, but they make their little slap. My friend, you wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for the influence of Dr. John Rice and God. Somebody help me! And you get into these sermons, you need a little bit of slap. Good night, you're going to slap it anyway. Slap it to evangelical. You're going to slap it. Slap it to liberal. But in God's your name, don't slap it. People who led us in the winning of souls and building great church, don't do that. You get in the back room and make a little smart comment about Brother Howes. Went to a conference one time, and a guy got up ahead of me and he said, no big shots here. And when he said that, Brother House was sitting over here and he looked right at him. No big shots here. We're all men of God too. Why? Was that necessary? Hold it. If Brother House tried to force something on you, it wouldn't bother me a lick to say, this is my pulpit. But he never did that. Never did that. No need for that. Statements like, well, Brother House and I just disagreed on some things. Well, we know that. That's why you're running nothing and he was running everything. We know that. There's no need in that. Let me tell you what Brother Howes did. This helped. We're going to close. I'm on overtime. I get double now. He took the best... Please listen to this and we'll close. He took the best qualities
of all of these great men without the negatives and put them into his life and then taught you those positives. Years before Dr. Rice found out that Dr. Howes did not believe, that Dr. Howes believed in storehouse tithing. Years. He kept it a secret. They'd ask Dr. Howes, what about tithing? And here's what he would say. Dr. Rice is much older than I. Let him answer the question. It wasn't until some loudmouth, crazy freshman at Howes Emerson College walked up to Dr. Rice in Milwaukee and said to him, you and Dr. Howes don't agree. Dr. Rice wrote Dr. Howes a letter. Dr. Howes told me this story. He wrote him and said, my dear brother, I am shaken to the foundation. I cannot believe what I'm hearing. You must answer immediately. Well, Howes said, never answer me. Never wrote back. He said, we're preaching together somewhere. I don't remember where it was. He said, he walked down, knocked on Dr. Rice's door. Said, Dr. John, follow me. Took him down to a clothing store, bought him a new coat, overcoat, new suit, new tie, new shirt, new hat, new pants, new underwear, new undershirts. Bought him everything. And then he hugged him and said, Dr. Rice, I love you. He said, it never came up again. Never came up again. We're not much gentlemen anymore, are we? In our relationship with great men. I hope this helped you. I don't want you to become a liberal. I want you to be a liberal in the sense of giving. But I don't, you be careful. Listen, I've preached 23,000 sermons now, not 60,000 like Brother Howes, and I've been in 48 states, 17 foreign countries, but I'm telling you right now, I'm worried. Because it wasn't but a few years ago, I said to myself, oh, we got something going here. But now all of a sudden, this little pocket here and this little group here, and where's Rick? And I'm wondering, what is the matter with you stinking guys? I mean, you good-smelling people. I hope you know that I care about you. I love you, and I want the best for you. Okay, let's